KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Milo Kelly. He's a local author from Manhattan and recently wrote the book, I Want to Be Wealthy, the talk about money and also trying to get more financial literacy out there, out and about in the community with various efforts we'll get into as well. But 537-1350, if you have questions or comments, toll free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. And Milo had a chance to kind of look through your book and definitely some interesting suggestions in there. And you're really very forthcoming about your own personal history and some of the things you went through as even a young child, quite frankly.
Yeah, I wrote this, I started it for my granddaughter to tell her about how finances works and those kind of things. And over time, I ended up with having enough information that I thought, well, maybe it would work for a high school classroom. And then I found out that many adults don't understand how to create wealth and the basics of financial literacy. So that's how the book came about in the beginning. And again, I grew up in poverty, and so there's a lot of that that I can share with other people. And one of the things that I'm looking for in Manhattan is to broaden the base of financial literacy. You know, we don't have a requirement for high school graduates in Kansas to have a financial literacy course, which is one of the things that I would like to work on and those kinds of things. So, and again, just so you know, April is Financial Literacy Month, so good timing to have me on so we
exactly.
can promote that.
And I know there's so many aspects of things that people seem to have difficulty with. I mean, whether it's borrowing too much or bad terms when borrowing, there's just a long list of things. And I know you get into some of that probably in your book too.
Yes.
But I mean, kind of share with us some of the biggest things that you see when you're working with some of these folks.
Well, part of it is, again, there's two groups that we're really talking about. Those that are in poverty that simply don't have enough money to meet the needs of housing and food and health security. And then we've got the group that can do that but doesn't understand or doesn't have enough money to go to a financial advisor. And that's the group that I'm really talking to. Those that have enough money that they can meet their basic needs but don't know what to do with the rest of it. And so they don't make wise decisions. So as opposed to financial literacy, I'm now talking about financial wisdom, which is a little bit different where you talked about where we borrow too much, where we accept bad terms when we borrow. And those are some of the things that I think are very important for people to understand. And I have a chapter in the book that's just called Tips and Timing, and it's got just a lot of little things where we talk about compound interest. What does it do? Risk versus return. Some of those kinds of things that people may have missed that don't understand those concepts very well. So that's a really important chapter in here. But the other thing in the book that I use is a 5-block model of where can money go and how do we use money? It's not a tool. It's actually a conceptual idea. And there's only one way that people get wealthy, and that is they have cash flow and they buy assets. Now, most people think a house is an asset or their car is an asset. But if you think about it, you're always spending money on those. So a real asset is putting money into your pocket, and that's where you have a savings account. You have investments. A lot of times your businesses, when you start your business, that's the idea, is to put money in your pocket. And that's a real key, and that's the secret that everybody asks about. What's the secret to wealth? Creating money that you can invest into yourself. Instead of how much money do you make, we focus on income, where rich people focus on how much money do I keep. And that's a key difference. And again, those are simple financial wisdom ideas that we don't really talk about in financial literacy very much.
What are some of the biggest mistakes people tend to make now in your experience?
Well, again, it's responding to their emotions. We spend a lot of money emotionally, and that's the hardest part of creating wealth is getting past there. The thing that was key for me was when I was able to replace my net worth, because I started tracking my net worth, and my net worth became part of my identity versus the nice car the nice house, the manicured lawn, and those kind of things. And when I was able to do that, I started looking at my net worth and having self-worth from how much I was keeping, not how much I was impressing the neighbors and the other people. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things for us to work with as we move into financial wealth.
One thing about your book I enjoyed is your openness. And quite honestly, you're, as I say, very forthcoming about the way you made your start and some of the things that went on. It seems like maybe in today's day and age, I don't know why, but people don't talk a lot about this subject. It seems like we need to talk about it more.
Yes, and that's one of the second title of the book is to talk about money, where and financial literacy in school is supposed to help with that. But at home, most of us don't talk about it. And before, we used to have actual paper money that the kids would see us move around. Now we have a plastic card. So the kids don't really get to see what does that impact and how does that impact your life. And discussions at home about why do we want this TV? Why do we need a new car? What should we be using and spending our money on? We don't do that very much anymore. Well, we didn't do it a lot before. But the talk about money is, to me, a little bit like the talk about sex. We don't really talk about it. And sex education in the high school is about mechanics. You know, how is a baby created? What those kind of things. And not about the emotional part of the relationship of when it's appropriate to, you know, have sex or any of those other things. Well, the talk about money is kind of the same. We don't do that. And that's what I'm encouraging. Internal to the family, we talk about what's money do? Why do I spend it? And again, it's getting that emotional connection to the money and talking about that. Why do we spend it on these shoes versus a practical pair of shoes that's half as much? You know, and so we have to work through those issues. And we don't do that very well.
We keep hearing a lot about the millennials. Are they having more challenges in some generations? Or is this just kind of an ongoing thing every generation as they learn?
Well, there's a split that I understand in the millennials. One is they are actually saving more than their parents. So in that regard, it's pretty good. But again, I think we're having less conversations about the importance of their cost versus benefit and starting now and some of those other things that over time is the way that we make our life better. You know, if we spend all of our money today, that doesn't guarantee us tomorrow we're going to have a better lifestyle. And again, since I've written this and been involved in community organizations here in Manhattan, I've discovered that talking about lifestyle really helps put that budget into play. And so you have inputs and you have outcomes. Your outcomes are your lifestyle. And if you think about those as a lifestyle, it makes it easier to decide we want a better lifestyle tomorrow. And so people are more willing to take that 10%, or that's what most financial advisors talk about. I think it can be a lot less, but some amount that we put towards our future lifestyle makes a big difference. And that's hard to do. And it's, again, one of those things that we don't talk about that really fits into financial wisdom.
Yeah, well, too much instant gratification, it seems like we tend to still have. If you don't mind sharing some of the work you are doing with community groups, I know you have a relationship with Thrive, with Morningstar, several different groups in town.
Yes. I've done a couple of things. I've had UFM classes. Now, this summer I'm not going to have any, but probably in the fall I'll start those back up again. Morningstar, Inc., which is a member-run organization, I've talked with them and given them classes and information about how better to manage money. Another one that I'm involved with is Harvesters, which is more of it doesn't do education, but it helps alleviate the effects of poverty. And then Thrive, and that's the one I'm big in, and I've been there for a year now, and I'm kind of the one, well, we all talk about finances. But again, I'm the one, because I've written a book and I've thought a lot about it and I've lived in poverty, so I spend a lot of time pushing that ideas of how do we help other people deal with that. And right now, Thrive is in a co-op with Shepherd's Crossing. We're getting ready to do a four-week, hour-and-a-half class with with those that keep coming back to Shepherd's Crossing to give them some help and thoughts about better ways to meet their needs.
Now, I'm imagining that's very rewarding, some of the work you're doing, but I wonder if sometimes, is there any frustration you can't do more? I mean, obviously, you've talked about the high school age kids, and we have a lot of college kids here in the Manhattan area. Are there other steps that need to be taken, do you think?
Of course. And the thing is, I think the biggest one is, well, two of them. One is doing something about our high schools and graduation requirements for a financial literacy class. Now, that doesn't help with the financial wisdom, but at least it gives you the opportunity to know the tools. And then the other part is to really have community discussions about resources that are available to people, because they're not coordinated, and we've got a ton of resources in Manhattan, which is wonderful and it makes it helpful, but they're not coordinated. And so working on some of those kind of things and just getting out the idea of how should you manage money to make wise choices, not just to make choices. We want to make wise ones and do better with that. And so that's where I'm really hoping to move with some of this.
Well, I know there's just so many things we could get into on this topic, and just your book covers several, but anything you'd really want to leave listeners with today or anything you're really wanting to highlight before we start to wrap up?
Probably the idea of what an asset is. Now, again, we talk a lot about budgets, but the thing is, once you get that cash in hand that you now have created from your budget, what do we do with it? And there are so many opportunities out there to do that. And so a lot of people don't do anything because they're not sure what the next step is. And if you don't have a significant amount of money, then financial advisors usually aren't quite ready to give you that assistance. And that's that middle gap that I'm trying to cover with my book and give some people some ideas about what you do to begin with. And then, you know, once you get that $10,000 or $50,000 available, then financial advisors are willing to help you do better with that. And so, again, it's just a lot of, I mean, my mind goes to all kinds of places.
Well, I think your book gives folks a glimmer of hope. I mean, quite honestly, your personal story and how you were able to do as much as you were able to do.
And there is one statistic in here that's kind of interesting, is about 25 or 28% of those in poverty this year will not be in poverty next year. So there's a lot of people that move out of that category, and we want to be part of that. And Thrive is really looking at doing it for multiple generations. Instead of just helping you fish, we want to teach you how to fish. And that's the real crux of this. There is a sad part in there about that statistic. There's about 14% of those that do make it out that will be back in the following year. So there's a lot of up and down, in and out of there. And we hope to, I don't know if we'll ever eliminate it, but we certainly want to reduce that recidivism rate to back into poverty.
And times are tough, let's face it, when it comes to economy.
So. And they are difficult.
Well, thank you so much, Milo, for stopping by. We've had Milo Kelly with us today from Manhattan, author of I Want to Be Wealthy, The Talk About Money, and also involved with several different financial literacy type projects with Thrive and Morningstar, UFM. So appreciate
if somebody does want the book, they are in the local bookstores of Rockwood, Claflin, and Christian bookstores here in town, so you can go pick one up there.
Thank you so much. Milo Kelly with us today. We'll take a break, and coming back, we'll have clinical dietitian Lisa Jones from Irwin Army Community Hospital. It's Nutrition Month, busy month, in fact. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is